Warning: what you are about to hear contains explicit language, adult themes, and potentially disturbing content. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of anyone else, anywhere, ever, in the history of the world. This podcast is intended for an immature audience and should not be listened to by anyone, anywhere, ever, in the history of the world. You know, fuck it. You've been warned.
Ladies and gentlemen, dorks and dweebs, nerds of all ages, GeekPod Network Productions is proud to bring to you the most electrifying middle-aged guys in Syracuse, the Doctor, Hugh Allen, the Pod Whore, Paul Showens. Alone, they are single geek beacons in a dark cop drama world. But when the mics go hot, they are GeekPod. God bless me!
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of GeekPod. I'm your host, Paul.
I'm Hugh.
And I'm Corbs.
Welcome back, guys.
Hey, 3 weeks in a row.
Almost. The holiday. No. So.
Yep.
Is it 2 out of 3 weeks or 3 out of 4 weeks? Whatever the hell it is.
We're making it work so far. And
different for us.
Right.
Different for us?
That we're actually sticking to a schedule.
Oh, I thought you meant like time was different for the two of you, which I would also believe.
There's that. Gentlemen, let's catch a buzz.
All right. What do you got there, Paul?
Well, because I know what you've got there, and I was not partaking in that, I have a very fine Budweiser.
Christmas. Oh, I can't see it, Paul.
It disappeared again.
It disappeared. There you go.
The Christmas cans.
That just, you know, makes it so much better. Not really.
No, it's still the same.
Now we had a discussion about this via text leading up to the show because Paul dropped me off some beers tonight for the next few weeks. And there were a few that he had already tried, and I didn't know that. And he says, oh, yeah, just pick one and we'll drink it on the show. And then I proceeded to pick one. No, I tried that. I didn't like it. What about this one? No, I'm not really excited about that. That was just for you. So he didn't really mean what he said. So what we're going to do is I've got a couple here, one that he tried last week and another one from the same company. That I'd like to try. I do want to point out, though, one of the beers was Stone Cold Steve Austin's IPA, Rattlesnake IPA, I think it was called.
Something like that, or Broken Skull or something like that.
Broken Skull, yeah. And I actually have wanted to try that for a while, but I've not seen it anywhere. So we're listing off. I'm like, Paul, pick one. He's like, which ones are there? I'm like, well, there's the chocolate peanut butter. There's this. And then I attempted to type Steve Austin, and I three times in a row, I typed Steve Autism. So that led to and somebody will probably take this bad. My wife said, make sure you don't say this on the show. So of course I'm going to say it. I was just laughing my ass off, not because autism is funny, but because it was such a stupid mistake. And my phone thought that was what I was trying to type. And I'm like, she's like, it looks so funny. And I explained it to her. And I'm like, I'm just imagining, you know, him getting up and going, you know, autism 316 says, I just whooped your ass. I could not stop laughing. Avery thought I was laughing at her because she fell off the couch. And like, I wasn't laughing at you. Yes, you were. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. What's autism 316? You're too young to know that. Anyway, so what I'm going to be trying, this is from Hardywood Brewing, just like the gingerbread one from last week that Paul had that I'll be trying later on today. This is called Christmas. I got to get used to this. Christmas Morning. There we go. Oh, everything's backwards. So I'm actually really excited about this. Paul said he liked this, or he didn't like this. He tried it, and he thought it was awful. This is an Imperial Milk Stout with ginger, cinnamon, honey, vanilla, and coffee. Hardywood Christmas Morning lends a cheerful decadence to our gingerbread stout through deep conditioning on locally roasted Mexican Chiapas coffee beans. Skip the leftover cookies and milk and awaken your senses with this delightful holiday tradition. Now, I got to say, this sounds freaking amazing to me. Everything I like. I mean, I'm not so much on the, I'm ginger and cinnamon aren't my favorite things, but just that much artistry going into a stout sounds amazing to me.
And this is where if I hit a soundboard, I would hit crickets for you because I did not feel the same. And while he's pouring, Corbs, I do want you to know I have a care package for you as well, but I was downtown. That's why his got dropped off today. So.
Oh, man, did I blow up your spot, Paul? I didn't mean to do that.
So, wait, was he downtown for some reason? Or is that...
He lives down that way.
Oh, see, there you go. So you need to explain these things.
Look at that. So,
I mean, honestly, who drinks out of a glass?
People who are barbarians and heathens.
Older people.
Who drinks out of a can?
Young people.
Retired football players. That's who.
Failed retired football players.
You know, oddly enough, this tastes a lot like the stout I make at home, which isn't usually the case. Usually when I drink something from the store, it doesn't taste quite like that. Almost makes me wonder if I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm not, though. This is delicious. I'm not getting the ginger so much. A little bit.
A lot of the coffee, though, right?
Oh, tons of the coffee.
And I think that's what ruined it for me because I don't like coffee. So, I mean.
Oh, that would definitely do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a fan. Did you buy these as singles or four packs? I'm just curious how much the Hardy.
Those are four packs, and they are about $15 a four pack.
Okay, hey, that's about typical for a 16 ounce
craft brew. Yes.
Yeah, I would buy that. I like it. And yep. Paul, how's your Budweiser?
It's Budweiser, but it's in a festive can. So.
Does that make it taste different?
Nope. Still tastes like a brewery floor.
Still tastes like water?
Yeah, basically. No, that's Bud Light.
Oh, sorry.
All right. I've got nowhere else to go with this, so.
All right. Corbs, what are you drinking? Water?
Crystal Light.
Oh.
Do you believe in Crystal Light because you believe in you?
I do.
Is that the catchphrase for it?
It was in the 1980s, yeah.
Oh, I'd never heard that one.
The I believe in crystal light because I believe in me. Do. No, nothing.
I don't remember.
But that was very 80s with the ding at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
They all had, yes.
Yeah, the fact that I remember that, and I don't know that I've ever even drank that stuff, it's just ridiculous, and I probably have wasted my potential.
Yeah, that's just a lot. I'm just drinking. Usually it's water.
So. Yeah. So you're living dangerously tonight.
I'm trying to stay healthy. I had to go to the doctor's this week, so.
Oh. Is that what's got you geeked?
God, no. Well, it was a freaking teledoc appointment, so I sat in my bedroom and was on the phone with my doctor.
Nice.
She's a nice, I would call her a lady, but I think she's younger than I am, so. I had to start going back, have my like A1C checked and all that stuff. So A1C is at like 9.4, better than what it was when I started going over a year ago.
11 what?
13.
So what?
Yeah.
Holy shit. 13. You were like pure sugar.
Yeah.
You were the gingerbread man. What the fuck?
Yeah, it was bad, dude. It was,
that's not
it
good.
Wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. But I have to admit, so I started going and seeing this lady. Obviously started at the 13, so they put me on metformin.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, you know what that is. I'm sure
I know that one.
I do know what that is.
You do?
Yeah, okay. Because my wife took it for a while for different reasons, and it just made her shit her guts out all the time.
Yep.
Like her asshole was raw. She's just like, I'm always wiping. I never stop wiping. Yep. She was miserable. Yeah,
and that's what it did to me. That's what it did to me. I went to my doctor 6 weeks later, said I had to stop taking it. Like I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. Like I spent 9 hours a day in the bathroom. It literally just cleaned me out. And I told her, I can't do it. So she gave me Ozempic to take.
Oh, yeah.
Once a week shot.
Yep.
Well, you know, so I was taking that. But I hadn't been taking it because I didn't go to doctors because I didn't have any insurance. Because obviously, you know, as we've talked many occasions, I lost my job in July, so I wasn't taking it. So I hadn't taken it since July. And I went and had my A1C checked on Wednesday. I had to go in for blood work on Wednesday. I had a doc's appointment on Monday. You know, we talked about a few things, and she set me up with some prescriptions for cholesterol and high blood pressure and all that happy horse shit, which is you know, part of the diabetes and all that stuff. So they called me on Thursday morning with the results, and she said, you know, your A1C is at 9.4. She goes, it's not that bad from where it was when we stopped talking to you. And she said it was like 9.2 in July. And I hadn't been taking the Ozempic, and I haven't been eating the best either. So I'm wondering if it was even lower than, you know, I was wondering if it was in the eights or even lower than that.
Right.
You know, so, but so I got all my medications back, so I start taking them again tonight and get back on track. So,
did you get insurance again? How do you have your medications?
No, they put me on a payment plan. So my doctor, what originally happened was they called and they were going to drop me as a patient, and I called over and explained it to them. And they said, I haven't been coming because I don't have any insurance. And I explained, you know, I lost my job. And they were like, oh, really? She's like, oh, you should have called us before. We'll work with you. So she talked to the lady that the nurse that I, or the physician that I see. And she was like, yeah, we'll take him back. It's not a problem. So I just have to pay like $5 on it every week or every month, or just put something towards it every month.
Right. Show that you're making the effort.
Yeah. As long as I'm doing that, then they'll be like, they're fine with it. So then I just pay for my own prescriptions. So, but I use like GoodRx and I get them for dirt cheap or whatever.
Nice.
So that's my life in a nutshell this week.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you are back on your medication. Everybody's glad to hear you're back on your medication.
Yeah.
I actually had an interesting doctor experience this week. Well, two of them actually. First of all, last Friday, maybe I mentioned this last week, that I got a phone call, or not in a phone call. I got a letter in the mail because my doctor had referred me to see a skin doctor. What are those called?
Dermatologist.
And there was another letter that they wanted me to see a pulmonary specialist. I'm like, what? And the first thing I go, there's nothing wrong with my heart. My wife goes, pulmonary is lungs, you idiot. So I'm like, oh, like, there's nothing wrong with my lungs. What the hell is this about? So I call the number, and there's this lady that does all the referrals, and I leave a message, and I get a phone call this week. Out of the blue, completely forgot I did this. She's like, yeah, you left us a message. We're referring you there because Dr. Kui said that you have sleep apnea, and you may need a new BiPAP machine or CPAP or whatever. I'm like, wait a second, we didn't talk about this. He saw in my history, because I put on there that at one point I had been diagnosed with sleep apnea and I had a CPAP machine. As Paul knows, I think a lot of that was stress related, because that's when I was still in my last marriage. I was drinking ridiculously heavy. And I was also, you know, I'm still overweight now, but now I'm active. I'm an active fat guy. So, or relatively, at least compared to then, I found that all cleared up, because when I was having issues before I got the machine, I mean, I was dog tired every day. I knew that I was sleeping like literal crap. And, you know, my ex-wife was like, you know, you are snoring and waking yourself up like every few minutes, and it's keeping me up all night. My wife's like, yeah, I mean, you only snore if you've, you know, drank. And, you know, you're not waking up. I don't have the same feeling. I know that I don't have the same problem I had before. Okay. Even though I did have a doctor tell me that you can't get rid of sleep apnea. Well, I'm sorry. You know, maybe it's lessened in almost nothing, but regardless, the doctor and I never talked about that at length. I never said, hey, this is a problem. Hey, maybe we should look at this. He never said, hey, I see this in your history. I'd like you to refer you to a specialist. Absolutely nothing. I'm just like, what is this about? Yeah, and I'm like, no, you can cancel that. I don't – I mean, if I start feeling the way I did – but I mean, that's been like 15 years, okay? I'm over it, okay? I'm over apnea. The other thing was he had tried to get me to get a migraine medication, because I do get severe migraines every once in a while. And he had prescribed me some new cutting-edge stuff that's like $1,200 a pill, but he – got a program where I was supposed to get it for $10. Well, they did the whole pre-authorization thing. Weeks went by, nothing went on or happened with it. He's like, okay, I'm gonna prescribe you, you know, an alternative. It's basically the same thing, but it's not dissolving, so it's not quick acting. It could take up to an hour. I go to the pharmacist. They say we have to order it. He gives me a coupon, so I get it for $10. Everything works great. I get a phone call this week. Hey, your prescription's ready. So yesterday, when I'm shopping, I go, hey, I got a call from you guys that I have a prescription ready, but I don't know what it is. They're like, oh, your Ubrelvy's in, and here, it's only $10. So somehow I ended up with two prescriptions. I haven't even used the ones out of the first box because I haven't gotten a migraine, but they gave me two. I didn't say anything because it's always good to have extra migraine medication. But I mean, what if it was OxyContin or something? I mean, how the fuck do they accidentally give you your prescription twice? And why couldn't it have been OxyContin?
Right? I heard that goes for a good penny on the streets.
Exactly. You know, that pays off all the Christmas bills, that one prescription. But I was shocked that something like that can happen when, you know, we're so locked down with, like, you know, prescription drugs and, you know, opioid crisis and all that. How the hell does that even happen? I mean, I didn't even try. I mean, I know if you're like calling up people, hey, can I get a prescription? I did nothing. Right. I thought my prescription was filled. Yeah. They're like, hey, we have more drugs for you. All right.
Fine.
How about you, Paul? Any interesting doctor stories from this past week?
No. I the only medical professionals I've seen are my physical therapists. And
yeah, how's that going?
They just beat the shit out of me. It's good times, but it's getting better.
Like normal.
Mm-hmm.
Just you're paying for it now.
Yes.
Well, your insurance is paying for it.
Yes. Actually, it was funny. And if I mentioned this last week, let me know. I don't know if I did or not. Did I tell this story about actually having to see the physical therapist and him really working me over as opposed to the assistant that I normally see?
I know you've told us about being worked over, like arm twisting, things popping. You explained that scar tissue, and that.
But that was the first episode back, right? Like, we didn't discuss my physical therapy last week. Did we?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think like what he was saying about them popping your shoulder and all that happy or shit.
Well, normally I see the therapist assistant. He's great. He, like I said, he fucking made me cry the first night. Because they do all that stretching every time. Well, last week, Dave, who's the assistant, was on vacation, so I saw the actual physical therapist. And his techniques are different. And,
Primitive?
No, he's very good. Very, I'm assuming it's cutting edge stuff, but he's much more brutal. And it was funny, we were joking around at the beginning of it because it's me. And I was like, oh, you got big shoes to fill. You know, he made me cry the first night. And he laughed it off. Well, Rich, who's the therapist, he went so far with it that I was literally kicking my feet on the table and he made me shout in the middle of the room, fuck. So,
so what you're saying is there are great differences between one Dom and another Dom.
Apparently. Yeah. This was my first experience with it. And it's funny that he did make me, you know, shout obscenities out, but I was so fucked up that night afterwards. Like, I sat in the car for 10 minutes trying to figure out how I was going to drive home because I was in so much pain. I couldn't use my left arm. I came home, and normally I come home from these sessions and I'm fine. I go about my business, do whatever. I came home, laid on the couch on my right side because I had to prop my left arm up, and I stayed there all night until it was bedtime. I could not move. I went back Thursday and I told him, I said, look, like, this is what happened. And he apologized. He's like, yo, I went too far on you then. I said, you think? But
yeah, you did kind of challenge him, though.
I did. And then that was the running joke. I told him at the end of it when they were giving me like an extra icing session. I said, you win, by the way. You won.
I'm sorry. That sounds awful, man.
But you know what? It's working. I'm getting range of motion back. When we just went on Thursday night, Dave was back and they test you to see how far you can go. And he's like going slow. He's waiting for me to tell him stop because it hurts. We made it where it was all the way back where my palm was flat down onto the table. So I'm actually getting nice. It's working. So maybe I can unretire in the spring. We'll see.
Oh, that's a great idea. I support you 100% in that. I think it's fantastic. You should definitely.
Great idea.
It's a very good idea. Oh, I support you too.
That's funny. I seem to be okay now, but a day ago I was in ridiculous amounts of back pain and I don't even know what I did. I mean, I, you know, had my birthday celebration. Yeah, I had some beers, but I didn't do anything. Normally I'm the guy that's like, oh, I have a day off. I'm just going to watch TV. And then I do everything in the house and come up with new projects. And you wouldn't think that if looking at the size of me, but my wife's always complaining that, you know, I don't ever stop. and I end up, you know, stressing myself out and I'm sore and whatever. Well, I had my whole back right around my back was killing me. And my right leg, I could lift it up just enough to go up a step, but no more. And yesterday I go grocery shopping and I get out to the car and I lift my leg up to put my right leg in so I can get in the car and realize I can't lift my leg up high enough to clear the bottom of the car. Oof. So you know what I end up doing after Talk looking here? Well, sort of. I kind of turned away from the car. I squatted a little and threw myself back into the seat. 3 out of 4 times, slammed the back of my head on the top of the car. That was nice.
Nice.
One time I didn't. It was awful. But then I wake up today and I'm like, I kind of feel – I'm not completely fine. I'm still a little sore. But it's – you know, like if yesterday was 100% pain, I'm at 25% pain today, which is
That's
a
good.
Huge difference. Yeah, but I'm a little concerned because I don't know what the hell happened.
Right. I mean, at our age, nothing has to happen anymore.
Now, usually it's like, okay, I'm in pain because I was up on a ladder putting up Christmas lights or taking down Halloween decorations or, you know, I can usually tie it back to something. This time, I mean, after my birthday stuff, I mean, literally the next 2 days we laid on the couch and watched Life Below Zero on Disney Plus for two days straight. So, don't know what happened. Which is a great show, by the way. And I know you have Disney Plus. Yes. I love it.
I haven't checked that one out, but I am completely up to date on The Mandalorian.
I'm not.
I've not watched this week's episode. I don't watch it till Sunday.
Okay. No, it's Friday night's immediate because I have way too many people who will ruin it for me if I don't watch it day of. But Corbs, are you watching Mandalorian?
Yes, no? I am.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Last two episodes I haven't watched yet. My son and I are watching it together. So
nice. It's so really good. Really great show.
Did you watch Supernatural?
No.
Yeah, I could have warned you on that one, Hugh. Forbes and I had that discussion earlier. He was like, nope, did you watch it? I'm like, no, that's why I texted you last night. I was going to watch it then. We're getting there. And by the time we do it, we've got to have like 3 episodes in. So
by the time you do it, it'll have been rebooted.
This is probably true.
But we're getting off task here, Paul. So I'd like to ask you, what's got you geeked?
Me personally, this has me geeked that we are officially now a video podcast as well.
That is awesome.
I got my shit together and actually edited it and put it out in a timely fashion. We've gotten some nice responses on it. Do you see we actually have comments on there? Or a comment?
No, on YouTube. I didn't. On the YouTube. At the time I saw it, there were no comments.
All right.
There were two views, and I assume they were you and me.
The lovely owner of the horror show that we're going to be going to, the Sci-Fi Horror Fest in August, Tiffany Beth, she checked the show out, loves the show, says we're awesome. I told her, don't get your hopes up. We're not always awesome. And she's the one that commented on there, something about hating cilantro. And then she messaged me personally and said, fuck you, I want a McRib now. So we're getting a lot of heat off of the McRib discussion.
Really?
Our good buddy Al from Resurrections, he was forced to go out and purchase McRibs, and he blames you and I for it, Hugh.
Oh, so he
I blame the two of you also.
What was that, Corbs?
I blame the two of you also.
Oh, no.
I didn't go out and buy one, but whoever else goes out and buys it, I blame you too.
So he loves it, doesn't he?
He loves the McRib, as most Americans do.
So how many views did it have last time you checked, Paul?
I'm 3.
I'm on it right now. So
Oh.
19 views as of
Woohoo.
That Tiffany girl's going to look at that and go, 19 views? Man, I don't want these guys.
Yeah. Why did I invite these guys? Actually, I found out because her and I have had a really good chat. She's really cool. She's a lot of fun. I can't wait until we actually get to meet her and hang out with her. She seems like a lot of fun. And I have a correction that she busted my balls on though to make. I said the con was Saturday, Sunday. Apparently, I don't know how to read a calendar either. It is a Friday, Saturday. Weekend show. So let me fix that.
You know they teach how to read calendars in school, right?
Yeah, I didn't do that. That
you didn't go to school?
No.
Or you didn't read calendars in school?
Either one.
Just wondering. I mean, I learned that shit in first grade.
I mean, elementary school wasn't a prerequisite for ITT, so.
Well, they didn't even have the modern calendar when you were in school, right?
Just very like true.
That's true.
Abacus and shit. Tablet.
An abacus is for math.
Math, yes.
It was written on a stone tablet.
One of the ones that Moses brought down or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this isn't working because we're putting all three of us down. It only works if you're putting down one person and the other two will fall into that same insult.
But that's what's got me geeked is that we're actually doing this video now, and it's something that we've talked about for a long time, and apparently the end of the world has facilitated it for us. So,
yeah, I don't know if I want to go back to the regular way of doing things.
I'd like to go back to where being able to actually hang out with my friends, but yes. I'd love to figure out a way to video that as well. And like,
I just like the fact that I don't have to drive home. So
there's that too. And that was a discussion we were having earlier. And that's what we said is if we got to the point where we could all hang out again, who'd want to, because it makes it much easier to do this way, yep. Where everyone just goes and sits their ass in front of their computer or phone and just does it, you know? I mean, it makes it easier. If we can get Corbs to figure out how to get a GeekPod background, we'll all be unified. We'll have to get him his own color, though. So.
Okay. Give me the red of death.
Red or... red's not going to show up on the black. Something lighter like pink, I think, would work.
Fabulous.
We still have the gold that was never used.
That's true. Yeah. We might lose his, though. That might clash with his, or I should say blend with his complexion, though. I mean, I'm just looking at it right sick. Now. No, it's cold. I mean, that's not sick, but I'm just saying it might blend. There's a very strong contrast with the two we're using. Actually, the blue might even be a little too dark.
No, the blue looks good, except you just keep disappearing into it.
Well, hey, check this out. If I take off my headphones...
top of my head sometimes disappears.
Yes, you look bald. It's funny. We also can't hear you very well without the mic part. So, all right. So, Corbs, what's got you geeked?
Christmas, and not for the reason everybody thinks. Thinks gifts or whatever like that. My family has a tradition of getting together. Like my sister, my mom. Now my girlfriend and my sister-in-law will get together on a Saturday and bake cookies all day long.
Nice.
So they bake cookies, they make white trash, and, you know, me being me, I get to be the taste tester.
Is that how you came about?
Yes.
Just wondering. I haven't known you as long as Paul, so I wasn't.
Yeah, sure. I was the milkman's child, according to my mom.
What is white trash?
It's basically just... pretzels, Chex Mix, peanuts.
White chocolate, right?
And white chocolate. And you can, you can add to it. I mean, you can put, some people put M&Ms in it, shit like that. You put food coloring in it, make it different colors. My mom's talking about doing that this year, making drizzling like red or green over the white chocolate to kind of make it a little more festive. So, but that's what I enjoy is the white trash. I was joking with my mom earlier that if she doesn't make it, she's got to leave. So that's it for me. I just, as you guys know, my life is very hectic lately. So
lots of golf,
which doesn't explain why I haven't gotten to watch Supernatural because.
Yeah, I know. I thought no of excuse. That. Just saying.
I just, I sit around and this week I had an assignment. So
yes. Expect that text every week now, just that way I can push you to do it.
So you basically sit around and avoid watching Supernatural.
He goes out of his way to not watch it.
Actually, this week, obviously, I had the doctor's appointment on Monday, but I played taxi driver all week. Tuesday, I take my brother to the doctor's. Wednesday, I had my own doctor's appointment. I had to pick up my mom from my sister's. Thursday, I had to take her to the doctor. And then today, we had to bring her to get my prescriptions. She had to pick something up at Walmart, so, and she doesn't drive, so I have to drive her all over. Nice. So I call it Sean's taxi service. So that's what I did all week. But yes, Hugh, it's just kind of a giant try to figure out a way not to watch Supernatural.
Well, at least you're being honest with me. I appreciate that.
Bless you.
Sorry.
I just forget about it until COVID. Like almost midnight on Thursday night, and I'm like, oh fuck.
I was going to text you back last night when I got the text message because I went to Kelly's last night. So,
gotcha.
I was going to text you when I got home at like 11 o'clock. I was like, he might be sleeping. So I'll wait till the morning.
It's too bad that, you know, especially considering you're so busy that we don't have like, you know, pocket sized devices that are connected to the internet that also have access to Netflix so that we can watch things while we're on the go. That would be super fucking convenient right now.
It would be. I'll have to figure that out. I got time. I can figure that out.
I hear you can even download things to something like that now so it doesn't use your data.
Outstanding. Look at that.
Wow. I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
So that's it for me.
Hugh, what's got you geeked?
Well, I have two things. Three if you count the fact that this beer is fantastic. I was going to lead, well, I am leading with it anyway, but there has been at the Game Awards, they announced an Evil Dead video game, and I got super excited about it. There were rumors that they were working on a game. So I was like looking forward to learning anything about it. They released a trailer. It looks fantastic. It pulls in characters from all the movies and the TV show and everything all together. And I'm like, this is going to be great. And then I realized that it's a player versus player type thing. Wow. So it's going to be teams of human players against, you know, other teams can be the Deadites from the movies and stuff. And while those games certainly have value, if you look at something like Call of Duty, okay. Call of Duty, one of the biggest games, you know, worldwide, also has a single player campaign most of the time. I think the recent one they might not have, and they got a lot of flack for that. I have no problem with there being a multiplayer component to a game like that. It's a great idea to extend replayability, but not shipping it with some sort of single player campaign, I think, is very weak.
That's a big misstep.
Yeah, and that's my problem with like Dead by Daylight, you know, which is another huge, huge horror game, but considering that it's asymmetric multiplayer, basically every match is the same. You play the game in matches. It's not something that I'm going to invest 120 hours of my time in. You know, it's going to get old. I have played Call of Duty. I've played, you know, Left 4 Dead competitively and things like that. So I'm not saying, I mean, I don't like that kind of stuff, but I've done it before. But I think it should be there in addition to actually crafting a good game. So I may very well pick this up just because it's still Evil Dead. But I mean, I felt the same way about Friday the 13th, the game, you know, that Christmas present you gave me, which I still love that game. It's great, but I really wish that it gave me the option to either be Jason in a story campaign or be the counselors trying to get away, whatever. And then there was the multiplayer component layered on top of it for when you've completed the main story. One of the great things about that is in completing the campaign, you get really good with the mechanics of the game. So by the time you get to competitive multiplayer, you're not just, oh, noob, you know, you're a noob, right, or someone's calling you, you know, all sorts of names. I'm not even going to say them. Cause that's one of the things I run into. I get into a multiplayer game and I get stomped so badly that I'm like, this is not worth it. It's not worth my time.
This isn't fun for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand they say, well, that's how you got to get good. Okay. I'm 44. I don't have time to play video games 9 hours a day in my parents' basement. I'm sorry. So I'm not saying that it has to be easy, but when it's not fun, then that's not
why bother. Yes.
I'm going to find something else to do.
I hear you.
The other thing though, that does have me legitimately excited is all this week Founders has been releasing their lineup for 2021, their brand calendar update. And there's a lot of interesting stuff on here. Some of these you may or may not be interested in, Paul. Do you remember Mazagave?
Bless you.
Do you remember Masagave, the margarita inspired? No.
Nope.
Okay. Well, they're rebranding it as Masagave Classica, but it's basically a beer kind of based on a margarita. But it's going to become, they're going to expand that, and they're going to be adding a third flavor. Right now, I think they have like a classic, like a lime and a grapefruit. They were both good. I mean, in fact, that might be the only beer Damara's ever taken a sip of and said, actually, this is pretty good. She liked it. That's going to be coming out. They're releasing a bunch of Masagave hard seltzers for people who don't like beer. Now we get into the more interesting stuff. And I think, and I have all of it right here in front of me, in March, late February, early March, they're going to be re-releasing something called Four Giants IPA, which basically they had an argument years ago about what the best Imperial IPA was. So they basically took their four best recipes and threw them all together. to create nice. A basic super hybrid freaky IPA called Four Giants. That's going to be coming out in a 16-ounce cans. We have the Bottle Shop Series Number 1, which is basically a series devoted to back when craft beer was first becoming a thing and brewmasters took real chances in trying to come up with new ideas. It's going to be highlighting some things like that. And they're re-releasing something called Nemesis. It's a barley wine style ale brewed with roasted malts and a ton of hops. It's going to be 11.2% ABV, super high. And that's going to be out in April of 2021. They're going to be having something called Panther Cub, which they've had in the past. It's a porter aged in a bourbon barrels along with a little bit of maple syrup and vanilla extract. This is apparently something that they've released in the past, and they're re-releasing it, so people are excited about it. That's March. And there are still a bunch of spots on their calendar left. It's interesting because they said all week, hey, we're going to be releasing all of our lineup this week. And then they get to the end of it and they've announced three beers and like, oh, but there's other spots. We'll save it for the rest of the year. Like, you know, but, but there are some interesting things on here though. They are going to be releasing, well, KBS, you're familiar with KBS now.
Yes.
Kentucky Breakfast Stout. They're releasing a nitro version of that. And that is in May. I'm just taking a look if there's anything else on here. And something called Moon Rambler is going to be out the first 3 months of the year. I don't even know what that is. It's an IPA, but it's not listed on here. Anything else? Nothing that jumps out that we haven't. Oh, they are doing a Nitro Rubeus. So that might be something Ooh. You're interested in trying.
Yes.
But it's funny because I got excited about this last year because they announced – I think CBS was coming back, but it's kind of become an annual thing now when they tell us, you know, what they're going to release for the year. It gets me really excited. So it's kind of like when the fall previews, you know, what TV shows we're going to be on next year, back when, you know, some people actually read TV Guide.
Right.
It's kind of like that. It's the previews for what are we going to be.
It's the founders previews.
Yeah. What are we going to be trying to find in the store somewhere?
Yes. Yeah. And we don't even get the sneak preview now with the beer show.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
It is.
Yes.
But on that note.
Yes. I think we're going to throw it to break. And when we come back, we're going to go into Hughes News and Corb's classic movie review. All right. See you in a minute, guys.
All right.
The 4th annual Sci-Fi Horror Fest returns in 2021 with an all-new location. This family-friendly event will have new celebrity guests, new activities and attractions, as well as a diverse selection of vendors, ranging from horror and sci-fi merchandise, artists and authors, tattoo artists, podcasts, as well as unique vendors like breweries and wineries. Sci-Fi Horror Fest will be held on August 27th and 28th at the Vernon Downs Casino and Hotel in Vernon, New York. Guest announcements will begin after the new year. For all up-to-date information, including tickets, vendor space, and sponsorship packages, go to www.sci-fi-horrorfest.com. Please note, dates of event are subject to change due to any lasting issues due to COVID-19.
All right, we are back, and before I jump into the news, because, you know, who isn't drinking when they listen to the news these days, I'm going to go ahead and pour the Hardywood Gingerbread Stout. Ah, come on. This is the one Paul had last week. This is another Imperial Milk Stout with cinnamon, vanilla, ginger, and honey, made with fresh local baby ginger from Cat. Wait, you already read this last week. I don't have to read it again.
Right, go back and listen to the episode.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that was the video episode. Did I? I don't know.
Oh, that was I think that was last week. Maybe it wasn't last week. It might have been the week. No, last week was the cherry one.
Yes, the cherry pie. So that was our first episode back of season 3, we'll call it.
Season 3,
even though we've been doing this for 6 fucking years.
So was that episode 1?
Now, this is like the same beer as the last one, except the cinnamon is forward. There's no coffee, super cinnamon.
Yeah, there's no coffee in that one, and that's why I like that one.
Yeah, but I don't mind this, even though it's funny. I have a very, very interesting relationship with cinnamon. I generally don't like anything with cinnamon on it, but there are some things that cinnamon has to be on or in, or it's missed, and I'm okay with it here. Like if it's cinnamon on toast, fuck you. I'm not going to put cinnamon and sugar on my toast. I want butter. I want guacamole, just a runny egg, anything but sugar and cinnamon.
Did he just fucking say guacamole on
toast? Guacamole or avocado? Absolutely. In fact, this week I had it. One slice of bread toasted, spread with guacamole, a soft fried egg on top, break the yolk, sprinkle a little Tabasco or your favorite hot sauce over the top. Perfect breakfast any day of the week.
I guess I'm just not a guac guy at all and like in anything. So
nope, me either.
Well, I'll try not to hold that against you.
That's okay. You have plenty of other things to hold against me. It's fine.
I do. Well, that's too much for us.
Oh, I see where you're going there. I thought about that, and I'm like, you know what? I can't think of a way to work that joke in, and I'm glad you came to the rescue. So we're going to go ahead and get into the news. Now, this first thing, we're going to be talking about this at greater length later in the show. Now, I should have assumed that Paul was going to have this be like our main talking thing, but it's also the biggest thing that happened in news this week. So how can you not bring it up? So I'm just going to do a quick rundown. I just called it holy crap Disney, because what the hell else are you even going to call this? And I'm actually going to try something, Paul. I'm going to give myself a challenge to see how many breaths it takes for me to get through the entire Marvel and Star Wars bit that I'm about to do. How many breaths do you think it'll take me?
46.
Jot that down. I'm pretty sure it's not going to take that many. Corbs.
Should have went with 37. No. Sorry.
35.
I said breaths, not, you know, number of breasts I've touched. You guys know that, right?
Oh, that would be 4.
Wait, which one? Anyway. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this. So I'm going to try to rattle off everything that was announced because I don't want to go into too much detail since we're going to talk about it later. So... first up, FX has announced they are going to be doing an Aliens TV series based on the Ridley Scott movie. Hayden Christensen is going to be playing Darth Vader on Obi-Wan Kenobi. Rangers of the New Republic, Ashoka, Andra, the Bad Batch, Visions, Lando, the Acolyte, a droid story. All new Star Wars TV shows coming to us. Willow series in development. Next movie in the big Star Wars universe is Rogue Squadron. And there is going to be a new Indiana Jones movie. See, now for the Marvel side, Secret Invasion with Samuel L. Jackson, Armor Wars with Don Cheadle. They join WandaVision, The Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, What If, She-Hulk with Titania Masolani confirmed with Mark Ruffalo and Tim Roth reprising his role as Abomination, Moon Knight, Ironheart 3. Movies coming up, Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania, and Fantastic Four. Notice that the Black Widow is in the Loki trailer at 2 minutes and 3 seconds, or at least that's what it appears to me. And there's going to be tons of casting news all around this. So 3 breaths.
Okay. I was close on the 4, but that's when we were talking about breasts. Sorry.
Yeah. No, not even close. So we're going to be talking about this stuff later on. Next up, Punk Out With Your Junk Out. I am so proud of that title because Cyberpunk 2077 released this week, and it has tons of bugs all over the place, but people are still loving the game. But the biggest glitch is apparently you can create your penis in this game. You can make it longer, shorter. There's a penis slider. There have been other games that have done that, like Conan Exiles and such. But people are finding that their penises and breasts are clipping through the clothing. So people are walking around. They create their character. They dress him up, and all of a sudden, his dick is hanging out the fly while he's walking around, or their tits are out. Best glitch ever, said many people on Twitter, but I found that hilarious. Next up, and this is going to be short just because we have a lot of news to talk about later in the show. My last news thing is a little too sooky. HBO is in early planning to reboot True Blood. Alan Ball is returning as the showrunner, or at least the executive producer. He did the original one. And the Riverdale showrunner is attached to this. And this is very interesting because my wife and I were talking about it last night, and I said, and I'm not going to do it because, you know, A-L-E-X-A right next to me will say something. But I said, hey, A-L-E-X-A, when did True Blood end? And it was 2014, 6 years ago. Wow. Yeah, 6 years ago, August, 6 years ago, and they're rebooting it already. I mean, I'm not going to say that show was the best show on television, but damn that it was a gripping and we watched every episode. But man, that's 6 years.
Right.
It hasn't even been as long as like a typical CW superhero show runs. you know, I think it's too early to reboot it. And they say none of the original cast is going to be involved, which makes sense. And we really got talking about the casting and said, man, you know, I mean, could they have gotten someone better than Anna Paquin? Maybe. I mean, I don't have a problem with her, but a lot of people do. My wife said, you know, the guy that played Bill, you know, he was kind of ugly, whereas I thought he was a fantastic actor and I've loved him in other things. But what, Alexander Skarsgård? Was it Alex? I can't keep the Skarsgård separate. The guy that played Eric Northman. I mean, you're not going to get anybody better than that. The person that played Lafayette, Alcide, you know, Joe Manganiello. You're not going to find people that are going to compare favorably no matter what you do, especially if you take a guy from the CW and have him running the show. Yeah, I mean, we're talking, it should be called Teen Blood, not True Blood. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, a reboot has to justify its existence. And sometimes nostalgia and time is... It isn't really a justification, but you can use it, you know, if it's been long enough. In this case, I don't feel that it's been long enough. What do you guys feel about that?
No, it seems like 6 years is way too soon to start over again because it's still fresh in people's minds, especially since there were spinoff shows, right?
No, not of True Blood.
What am I thinking then? The Originals, wasn't that?
That was a CW show. That's completely separate. That was originally a Vampire Diaries and then the
spawn. That's what it was. Sorry.
But yeah, it's a weird choice by HBO, but they're making a lot of weird choices. I mean, they've cast Matt Smith in the Game of Thrones prequel, which, you know, it makes me excited because I like Matt Smith because he was one of the doctors. Also makes me not excited because if he's in a Game of Thrones show, it's likely I'm going to see his cock and I don't want to see that. So I'm kind of, you know, mixed on that. I don't know if I want to go down that road. But that's all I got. That's the news, kids. Now, I need to go call the pizza shop. See, my neighbor ordered a pizza for delivery. Myself and 18 of my neighbors don't approve of the toppings they chose because we are racist against black olives. So I am contacting the Supreme Pizza Court to get their order canceled. Paul?
Perfect. And we're going to we're gonna roll right into Corbs' classic movie review.
How the hell do you follow that up?
Good luck trying.
All right, so this week we are going to be reviewing the classic, Christmas classic, that might I tell you. How do you put this into proper text, I guess? Well, we're going to review the Christmas classic Die Hard.
Yes, we are.
For all those who don't understand, Die Hard is... and always will be a Christmas movie. I fight every year, tooth and nail. I have got my son now fighting on my side, which is nice. Because everybody says, well, it's not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie because it's an action movie. Well, sorry, go fuck yourself. I watched it again this week for the 900th time. Not this week, but in general.
And that's why you couldn't watch Supernatural 900 times this week for Die Hard.
I mean, opening scene. Not the opening scene. The opening scene is him flying in on a plane. But when they get to Nakatomi Plaza, when the owner is coming out, you see a fucking Christmas tree. Bruce Willis shows up. Guy walks up, gives him a big kiss.
Holy shit, there's a Christmas tree in the movie? You're right, it's a Christmas movie.
Well, a guy walks up, says, Merry fucking Christmas. I mean, I'm telling you right now, to me, it's a Christmas movie. One of my old jobs, we were sitting around a table for a Christmas party. Having Christmas lunch, and they were going around and saying, you know, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Obviously, you know, people are, you know, Miracle on 34th Street, Santa Claus, and It's a Wonderful Life, and they get to me, and, you know, me being the giant dick that I am, I say Die Hard. Nobody understood, and I started explaining to them, and they're all like, holy shit, he's right. It takes place at Christmas. Isn't that basis of a Christmas movie? It takes place during Christmas time?
I don't know. I think you can make the argument that a Christmas movie is about the Christmas spirit. Could say that it's an action movie that takes place at Christmas, but I'm not disputing your point because I know Paul shares that, and I'm having very wicked Deja Geek Pod because I feel like we've talked about
it. I think we've probably talked about this before with it being a Christmas movie.
But I don't want to fight about it because I know a lot of people see Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
And so, we'll probably talk about it again next week on the Christmas episode.
And next year, no, the year after that.
I got another one for next week, so don't worry about that.
Okay. Now, do you want me to read the classic reviews first before you do your own review?
No, let me do mine first, because you know, this to me, I mean, Die Hard is a classic. I don't care what anybody says. If you don't like the movie, then you're not American. I'm sorry. John McClane is a classic action hero. This movie spawned 4 sequels. I just watched it. It's a Good Day to Die Hard this afternoon, when I should have been watching Supernatural, but we'll skip over that. I mean, it's a great movie, and it's the 1980s movie, 1988 it came out. It's one of those big blockbuster action movies at the time. He's a New York City cop coming to see his estranged wife. I won't say divorced, because they're not technically divorced. They're not separated. She lives on the West Coast. She took a job there. He was a New York City police officer. He had a case log that he couldn't leave behind. So he shows up. Somebody tries to take – they try to take over a building, a group of – they say terrorists, but they're not terrorists. They're actually really just bank robbers looking to steal $600 million. So, I mean, it's just – it's a great movie. I've seen – going out, been a Christmas movie, I've seen on Facebook where they have a Nakatomi Tower – that Paul is shaking his head. You can actually, it's, you know how that you have, when you have Christmas, you have the thing where you open the windows. The calendar, right. And it's Hans Gruber falling. And as he gets to each floor, you open the thing and it counts down to Christmas. When he hits the ground, it's Christmas. So I thought that was pretty hysterical. I shared that on Facebook a few times.
That's probably how I saw it.
Probably. But I mean, it's a good movie. It's like action, nonstop action. To me, it's one of the first real big action movies of the time. I mean, you've gotten way better action movies since then, but I think this is the one that everybody kind of goes off of. It's rated as considered one of the greatest action movies of all time. So for me, I watch it every year at Christmas time, because I just like to piss people off, because that's just what I do. You know, my mom and I jokingly fight about it. Like every time she'll be talking, she watches, you know, Christmas movies all day long on TV. You all know the channel that they're on. I'm sure your wife watches them, Paul. I'm assuming. I don't know. Hugh, yeah. I don't know if your wife watches those types of movies, but my mom will sit here all day long and watch, you know, those romantic Christmas movies where the guy comes from, or the girl comes from the big city to her old hometown and runs into her ex-boyfriend or whatever.
You mean like the Mario Lopez Colonel Sanders movie?
I saw that. Oh my God. not actually saw the movie, but I saw the thing for it.
Yeah, but you got a bookmark. I know you.
Yeah, I got to check that one out. I mean, I'd love me some KFC.
Who doesn't?
Right.
So that's it. I mean, for me, you know, watching him shoot everybody and then shoot them some more. Like I said, John McClane
gets you in the Christmas spirit.
It does. And you, and I mean, we joke about these things, but to me, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I have, now that we're going back years, I have pictures, not on my phone, like actual, like developed pictures at Christmas time of Star Wars in the background. That's what we used to watch on Christmas morning when we opened gifts with Star Wars. So, you know, people watch whatever, Miracle on 34th Street, It's a Wonderful Life. My family did things differently. My mom hated it, but we did it just because that's what we like to do. You can see
what was on.
But it was.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't on, we put it on. Like I, you know, going back when you had the VHS tapes.
Real
like
to I real. Was just,
yeah. You know, had to switch it over every couple, you know, every 20 or 30 minutes or whatever, get a little dot in the top of the corner there.
We forced the slaves to get on stage and act out our favorite stories.
So that's just, you know, again, I love the movie. I've seen that. Actually, the second one takes place during Christmas time too. So
mm-hmm. I remember the snowmobiles.
Yep, snowmobiles and, you know.
John Amos.
But, yep. So, I mean, it's, to me, I always think of it as a Christmas movie only because I like to stir the pot. I mean, yes, it's not a Christmas movie. You know, I'll go down fighting to say it's a Christmas movie because I just like to stir the pot and be a dick. But again, me, big action movies.
So you're saying you'll die on a hill with no actual defensible position? There's a lot of that
going around. Other than there's a Christmas tree and a Christmas hat.
And somebody saying Merry Christmas, and then there's a picture, there's fucking Santa Claus is in it. I mean, Christmas tree, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus, Christmas movie. They don't have to all be in the same scene together. Don't have to be in a
whole movie. Done.
Drop the mic. Done.
We don't drop mics. They're expensive.
So for me, I mean, Die Hard, classic Christmas movie to the end. You can't dispute it with me. I will fight you tooth and nail for you.
How many stars?
Oh, I give it.
Out of five.
I'll give it 5 stars.
5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay. So as of July 15th, 1988, Roger Ebert.
There we go. He's good.
I told you. I went and found some good ones. He disagreed with you. He gave it a 2 out of 5 stars. And this can be found at his website, www.rogerebert.com/reviews/die-hard-1988. That'll be in the show notes. Because we have to give it attribution because I don't want to get sued. He says, in 1988, the idea has a certain allure to it. A cop is trapped inside a high-rise with a team of desperate terrorists. He is all that stands between them and their hostages. Give the terrorist leader brains and a personality, make one of the hostages the estranged wife of the cop, and you've got a movie. The name of the movie is Die Hard, and it stars Bruce Willis in another one of those Hollywood action roles where the hero's shirt is ripped off in the first reel so you can see how much time he has been spending in the gym. He's a New York cop who has flown out to Los Angeles for Christmas.
Thank you.
And we quickly learn that his marriage was put on hold after his wife, played by Bonnie Bedelia, left for the coast to accept a great job offer. She is now a vice president of the multinational Nakatomi Corp. She was a vice president?
She was.
Huh. And shortly after Willis makes his surprise entrance at her office party, the terrorists strike. They too are a multinational group led by a German named Hans Gruber, played excellently by a young Alan Rickman, who is well-dressed and has a neatly trimmed beard and talks like an intellectual and thinks he is superior to the riffraff he has to associate himself with. He has a plan that has been devised with clockwork precision involving the theft of millions of dollars in negotiable bonds, and it is only after Willis starts causing trouble that he is forced to take the Nakatomi employees as hostages. The terrorists are skilled and well-armed, and there are a lot of them. Willis's strategy involves keeping them off guard with lightning attacks from his hiding place on an upper floor of the building that is still under construction. This plan involves the deployment of a great many stunts and special effects, such as when Willis swings through a plate glass window on the end of a fire rope. I would have called it a fire hose.
That would have called it a fire hose, too. I mean,
or when he drops plastic explosives down the elevator shaft. On a technical level, there's a lot to be said for Die Hard. It's when we get to some of the unnecessary adornments of the script that the movie shoots itself in the foot. Really? Willis remains in constant radio contact with a police officer on the ground, played by Reginald Val Johnson, better known as?
Carl the father Winslow. From...
Yes.
Yeah, the father from, Family Matters.
Family Matters.
There we go.
Who tried to keep his morale up, but then the filmmakers introduce a gratuitous and unnecessary additional character, the deputy police chief, played by Paul Gleason, who doubts that the guy on the other end of the radio is really a New York cop at all. As nearly as I can tell, the deputy chief is in the movie for only one purpose, to be consistently wrong at every step of the way and provide a phony counterpoint to Willis's progress.
Oh, well.
The character is so willfully useless, so dumb, so much a product of the idiot plot syndrome that all by himself he successfully undermines the last half of the movie. Thrillers like this need to be well-oiled machines with not a single wasted moment. Inappropriate and wrong-headed interruptions reveal the fragile nature of the plot and prevent it from working. Without the deputy chief and all that he represents, Die Hard would have been a more than passable thriller. With him, it's a mess, and that's a shame, because the film does contain superior special effects, impressive stunt work, and good performances, especially by Rickman as the terrorist. Here's a suggestion for thrill makers. You can't go wrong if all of the characters in your movie are at least as intelligent as most of the characters in your audience.
Wow.
That's a tough review right there.
Yeah, I have another one, but that one's also kind of long. I don't know if we need two of them. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that was enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I even feel bad for Die Hard, because as much as I talk shit about Christmas movies and that, I like Die Hard too. I mean, I don't watch it every year. I think I probably saw it twice, but I thought it was a good movie.
I've seen it a bunch, loved it. I've always loved it, but I don't watch it yearly either. That's not in my checklist. I think we've discussed these checklists before, that apparently I'm one of few people that have.
Yeah, but I hate to watch movies a second time.
Oh, God. There's so many that I do all the time.
Yeah, I watch movies all the time over and over again.
And now it's getting added onto, because now the kids have got their own traditions that they want to do. So,
do you also find you make the same mistakes over and over again?
I mean, we've established that very, very well.
So. Yeah.
There might be a theme there.
Right? Might be.
So did you have another movie, Corbs? Or was it just Die Hard?
No,
just that one. No, it was just that one. I was actually going to do a double feature, but maybe I'll save the other one for next week.
Now, next week is going to be a Christmas movie, right? Because next week is our Christmas episode. We want to talk about that quick?
Do you want to talk about... I'm not doing it. Yeah, I'm doing a Christmas movie, but it's not really a Christmas movie.
Well, wait, we could love to talk about our Christmas episode, Paul, but...
I haven't told you a goddamn thing about it.
Yeah, so we can't. So feel free to lay some knowledge on us.
I'm going to lay what little knowledge I have here. It is going to be our...
About the show or about just the in show. General?
Well, it's always in general when it comes to that statement.
I only have general knowledge. I'm an expert on nothing. But yeah, stay tuned for next week's episode, because it is going to be our Christmas episode that the guys will be in on the planning stages for. You know, probably after this episode when I text them and say, hey, we're going to do a Christmas episode next week.
Yeah, like 15 minutes before we go live.
No, I'm starting to plan now.
You have to tell us.
Yeah, I already know what I'm wearing for the episode. Since we do a video podcast, I actually plan outfits. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but like every week I'm wearing branded merchandise.
Good selling point.
But oddly enough, something weird is happening. We've had two t-shirt sales in the last 2 days.
Really?
And they've both been Boom Science shirts.
Did we check with Laura? Was it her?
I don't think so, because one was a child-sized Boom Science shirt.
Again, did you check with Laura?
Squeezing your way into it.
Maybe it was a gift for somebody. I mean, come on.
That's so sad. That's the gift you're giving.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Somebody was just randomly searching the internet for science t-shirts, and they fell on us.
I mean, it is a cool logo. I'm not going to lie. That's one of the few that I got lucky on.
Well, I do want to, not to step on movie reviews. I'm not going to give a review, but I do want to make two recommendations. I saw two good movies this week. One of them is actually a Christmas movie and something I think you should check out, Corbs. But I watched Freaky last night, which is a Blumhouse release.
I heard about this.
Yes, it was supposed to be a regular movie release. Amazon released it to rent. I think you can rent it. It's not free with Prime. But I'll tell you, it's a good movie. It's a horror movie starring Vince Vaughn. And it is let's call it a remake or a reboot of Freaky Friday, except completely a different thing. Instead of a mom and her daughter getting swapped, a teenage girl and a serial killer get swapped. And I'm not going to say that it's the best acting in the world, but we watch a lot of horror movies here at the Allen household, because that's our thing. And there are a lot of times at the end of the movie, I mean, three times this week, my wife's like, that was a waste of my fucking time. that statement did not come out
nice.
Last night. It was a decent movie. It was entertaining. Vince Vaughn did as good a job as anybody that tall could do trying to, you know, be a big man with a teenage girl mannerisms. It was pretty funny. Definitely worth checking out. The other one, and this Time is...
Before you move on from that did get a theatrical release, because I know Movie Tavern's playing it right now.
Okay, I didn't. I was not aware that it actually got a theatrical release.
I only know that because when we go to Warrior every week, I see what's on the marquee at Movie Tavern.
So. Warrior?
We'll save that for another episode. Kylie is doing American Ninja Warrior training.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, we'll make that a thing, especially since we may be having a former contestant from American Ninja Warrior on the show.
Is it Steven Amell?
Why, was he on it too?
Yeah, he killed the course. It was a big deal.
Oh, no.
It's all over the news. He actually got through the entire course.
Nice. No, it's not him.
Oh, damn.
That'd be cool. It would have been cool to have him on the show. Could ask him. He's doing wrestling now, too.
Yeah, well, he's doing a wrestling show now as well. But a Christmas movie. Fat Man. Have you seen it,
Corey? Mel Gibson's movie.
Mel Gibson's Christmas movie. Fucking fantastic, and I put it in the running for best Christmas movie of all time.
Really?
Wow. Yes, I do. Because, better than
Die Hard?
Yeah, absolutely, because while it definitely has its dark and gritty moments, and there is definitely an assassin in the movie and lots of killing, the Christmas spirit is very much alive in this movie, and goddamn. I mean, we got done with this, and I was like, I'm okay if that's Santa Claus because you're not sure because it definitely seems to be, it seemed like a downer at one point, but the movie's kind of about Santa finding his groove again.
Nice.
And I thought Stella
did that.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
It completes its hero's journey. And I just, it was a fantastic movie. I have nothing bad to say about it. You definitely should check it out if you get the opportunity.
Outstanding. Love it. I've both of those I saw. There's advertisements on Facebook for both of those all over the place. So those are both I was interested in. That's cool that they are both good movies.
Yeah.
I'm also curious about Vince Vaughn's other movie that's apparently a Hulu exclusive.
Oh,
and that's The Binge.
The Binge. I watched it.
Did you? Any good?
No.
No. That's too bad because that was filmed in Syracuse.
It was filmed in Syracuse, and that was one of the main reasons why. I watched it the weekend it came out, obviously, during, well, now, COVID. I watched it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Vince Vaughn. He's a good actor. And again, it's filmed in Syracuse, so you know, it was nice to watch it and see the landmarks and know that, oh, my God, you know, that's the bridge that every truck runs into. That's Onondaga Lake Parkway. You know, shit like that. So he was good in it. The whole movie concept.
Is it a comedy, a drama? What is it?
Yes.
It's a comedy, right? And it's supposed to be like kind of like a riff on the Purge.
Yeah.
But
basically what it is, it's The Binge. And it's like in high school, you can't drink until you turn 18. And then it's like a one night thing where you go out and you just binge and you can't get in trouble for it. You can go out and drink and you can go out and do...
Oh, everything's legal. Everything. Basically, all drugs, alcohol, everything is legal for one night.
For one night. Yep.
Wow.
So, but I mean, I watched it. It was okay. But again, it's probably one of those things where you thought to yourself after you got done with it, because I know I did. I was like, well, that was an hour and 30 minutes of my life that I could have shot myself in the forehead for.
Or watched Supernatural's episode 1 and 2.
Pretty much. So, but I mean, yeah, I saw it. It wasn't great, but I mean, it might be worth a watch. But if it's something, if you're sitting around going, you know, I got an hour and a half to kill,
I'll watch Supernatural.
Right.
So,
am I bitter? Do I sound bitter?
No,
you
don't sound
bitter. You keep saying that you know we should watch Supernatural. So
because he's not wrong. Because 3 weeks ago we both said that we were going to watch it.
It's true, we did.
Just saying. He's justified.
I mean, I have to ask both of you, and Corbs, this won't apply to you very much, but how many promises have I ever broken to either of you?
You assume I remember most things. That's the problem. There's been a lot of blunt head trauma.
I have no control.
I'm going to assume that probably none is where I'm going to go with.
You would be right.
All right, so I got myself... into it too because I wasn't involved in it, but of course me and my big stupid mouth was like, sure, I'll watch it too. Yeah.
All right.
So, Paul, you wanted to talk about the Disney announcement, so I'm going to let you lead into that.
Yeah, and we're going to lead into that after the next break. I think before we go to break, I think we should do the book club because that's probably going to be quicker.
Okay.
All right.
So what have you read this week?
I actually have read Batman, White Knight.
Okay. All right. That's an older book.
Yeah, from 2017. Phenomenal. I'm 6 out of 8 issues into it because I can't put it down. Like tonight I won't be able to because I'll have to edit after we're done. But phenomenal. I'm assuming it's like an Elseworlds thing.
It is, and you're right, it is very good, and it's kind of sad because it's so good, yet they could never do this in continuity. But I love the fact that the actions have real consequences in this, and which is something you can't do in the main continuity of a comic book character.
Right.
You can't change Batman or Spider-Man or Superman so much that somebody can't walk in off the street and go, oh, I'm going to buy a comic and start reading right now, which I understand, but it's also sad for the medium.
Right, because there is no real forward progress.
Yeah, or growth or anything like that. And when there is, it's in tiny baby steps. And we're all so jaded at this point. They're like, yeah, that's not going to last. Like, you know, Batman and Catwoman, you know, they're together. I think it's the best evolution for the character. Is it going to stick? Probably not.
Right, I agree.
I'd like to see it stick for the next 50 years. Because
that would be cool, but it won't because someone else will come in with a new idea and undo what we've done. But so Corbs knows because we know he's not a comic book guy. Batman White Knight is a completely different twist on the Batman mythos where Joker finally has enough and decides to get better. He gets on a medication. He's proving that Batman is the problem. And he's no longer Joker. He does his time. He's on the medication. He goes by his regular name, Jack Napier. Ends up suing Gotham City and the Gotham Police Department for millions, and he's affecting real change in the city. He goes to the worst part of Gotham, and he's making it better. And he's exposing all the harsh truths about society in Gotham, you know, the racism, the fact that Batman's being protected.
And the fact that if I remember correctly, either the police department or the government took out insurance against all the damage Batman did. So they ended up making millions off all
billions,
the
if I remember billions, correctly. Yes.
Off all the destruction that happened when Batman was taking down criminals. And that doesn't mean that Batman's a bad guy here.
Right.
It just shows that they were taking advantage of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And in a political situation, it looks really bad.
Yeah. Phenomenally well done. The artwork's a little different for me, for my taste. Character very designs.
Angular.
Yes.
Angular is what I would call it.
A lot of reds, too.
Yep.
Like, very moody. But it's phenomenal. It's a compelling stuff. And, I mean, normally I'll be like, Batman, okay. I'm loving this stuff. It is all because of an action figure I saw a picture of online. And I'm like, what is this shit? So I Googled what Batman White Knight was. And next thing I know, I've got the entire collection. So I'm reading all of it. I've got this, and I've got the collection of the follow-up series as well, the sequel to it, Curse of the White Knight. So most likely by next week, I'll be talking about that one. But definitely go out, pick it up at any of your local comic shops. Shop local, guys. They need
that. Yeah, there used to be something I would say when you said that, and I'm sad I can't say it now.
Oh, to where we used to go?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't exist more. But you know where they can go?
Where?
Our good friends at Collectibles Galore in North Syracuse.
Do I need to memorize that and make it into a soundbite that can pop out of my mouth at any given time?
Yes.
I'll work on that.
Perfect. but that's what I've been reading. What about you, Dr. Hugh?
Well, what I'm going to bring up is not a comic book. I've not read any comic books in a few weeks, although I really do need to get back on that horse. My backlog is getting ridiculous. But I've been reading regular books. Actually, I always read regular books, usually while I'm eating dinner. And due to the gift I got last week, the Pinhead figure, I went back and I reread The Hellbound Heart, which is the original novella Clive Barker wrote that introduced Hellraiser, and that's what the first movie is based on. I'm now reading his second book, which is called The Toll, and it's by Clive Barker and Mark Allen Miller. And it's a little weird because it's kind of a sequel to the book, kind of a sequel to the movie. This was weird because in the movie, the main character is the daughter of one of the characters. In the book, she kind of likes him, but he's married to someone else. It's weird. It's very strange. And now to have a sequel that kind of draws on both, it's a little odd. But that being aside, so far it's a very interesting book. I don't want to say it's fantastic because, you know, Clive Barker shared the writing duties on this with somebody else. So there's definitely going to be differences in the writing style. The Hellbound Heart is fantastic. And it's a quick read. It's not a very long story. It's just a novella. But so far, The Toll is really good. And I'm looking forward to exploring the rest of it. I plan on moving on from that to the third and probably final book Clive Barker wrote about these characters, which might not even be him because it's ghost written by somebody else because Clive Barker isn't really actually doing any of his own work anymore, apparently. But it's called The Scarlet Gospels, and it apparently features the death of Pinhead.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Clive Barker got sick of people saying, hey, what are you going to do with the characters next, and decided to write one more book and kill everybody off, apparently. That's what nice.
Stop but, you know, bothering me.
But I haven't read it, so I decided, you know what, I needed to read the whole thing from start to finish, so that's what I'm doing. And I'm enjoying it, and if you're a fan of the books, I mean, I'm not all that far into The Toll, to be completely honest. But if you're a fan of the books or the movie, I don't think you're going to be disappointed, at least with the first quarter of the book. I mean, it looks like it's setting up something interesting.
Very cool. All right. So I'm thinking we're going to hop out of here. We're going to finish up the show with our discussion about the Disney announcements, most likely pertaining to Lucasfilm and Marvel, I'm sure.
Oh, no. I totally wanted to talk about Moana, the series, and nothing else.
That's a huge thing in my house, just saying.
I'm sure it'll be a huge thing here, too.
Yes. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
The fourth annual Sci-Fi Horror Fest returns in 2021 with an all-new location. This family-friendly event will have new celebrity guests, new activities and attractions, as well as a diverse selection of vendors ranging from horror and sci-fi merchandise, artists and authors, tattoo artists, podcasts, as well as unique vendors like breweries and wineries. Sci-Fi Horror Fest will be held on August 27th and 28th at the Vernon Downs Casino and Hotel in Vernon, New York. Guest announcements will begin after the new year. For all up-to-date information, including tickets, vendor space, and sponsorship packages, go to www.sci-fi-horrorfest.com. Please note, dates of event are subject to change due to any lasting issues due to COVID-19.
See the night and fucked it up.
Fucked what up?
Maybe not. Maybe you didn't fuck it up. All right, well, welcome back. So let's get into this Disney debacle news you guys are talking about here.
You have no idea what we're even talking about.
Nope, no fucking clue. But that's just me, so.
So just a little bit of quick background, even though we did touch on this already. Disney had an investors meeting, 2 days ago now? Mm-hmm. And announced a whole huge slate of shit that's coming. And that was all the stuff that Hugh almost killed himself doing.
Yeah, I believe it was 10 Star Wars TV shows and 10 Marvel TV shows.
Was it just TV shows, or were they counting the movies in those as well?
I'm not sure. That was somebody else's count from an article I saw on the internet. But, I mean, given the stuff that they already had in development, I mean, it wasn't an announcement. Let's just say it was a reaffirmation of that. That's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to 10 Marvel TV shows and 10 Star Wars TV shows, which is huge.
Yes. Because, let's start with Marvel, because I think that's smaller at the slate. Smaller, because we already knew about a bunch of them.
I believe that because we have the shared universe of the movies, we're now going, what the hell was that?
I was mocking Corpse. I saw him do it because I think I did it first.
You did it first.
I think that we're actually going to end up getting all of the major Marvel storylines, the ones that don't require everybody to be there. They're going to make TV shows of because, I mean, just, you know, Secret Invasion and Armor Wars.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, those are two major storylines from the comic books. You absolutely, I think, can do most of Secret Invasion without a bunch of
superheroes. A-list stars, yes.
Yeah, it could mostly be Samuel L. Jackson, which let's not say he's not a fucking A-list star, motherfucker.
True, yes.
Because okay. He is. And Armor Wars, if I remember correctly, and it's been a long time, if you're going to take Iron Man out of the equation and just have, you know, War Machine be dealing with it, that's a bunch of villains we haven't seen and stuff, correct?
And could be really fucking cool.
Yeah. I mean, these are basically, Corbs, what's got us excited is for years what we had is the occasional TV show like Bill Bixby's The Incredible Hulk or something like that. Nothing was connected. And then we had the occasional movie. Now we finally got a shared movie universe, which, come on, has been huge. Even you watched Avengers Infinity War, right? Okay. Now they're actually going, hey, we don't have to pick one storyline every 4 years because it takes us this long to make these fucking movies now. They can actually use big storylines for the movies and some of the smaller ones, which are some of the most beloved in the TV shows, you know, such as, you know, WandaVision appears to be some sort of an adaptation of House of X, if I remember correctly.
Is it?
Yeah, well, House of X was where she said no more mutants, correct?
Ah, I gotcha. Because they've reused the House of X name, or no. I don't know. There's so much fucking X bullshit going on.
The X name, yeah, they have. But now I don't know this from any sources or anything like that, but it appears to me like maybe, first of all, they're definitely using the idea of her creating a fictional reality because she's in pain, which in the comics, what it was is the Scarlet Witch, her kids died, and she created a fictional reality where her kids were alive. And it messed up all of reality. And then when they finally brought her out of it and got her to realize she was fucking up reality, she said, no more mutants. And she's the most powerful mutant of all. And she basically wiped out just about all the mutants in the world. You know, very few.
And no 99 more were left.
Yeah, 99 mutants were
left. Or 199.
Yeah. 199. It took a very long time for the whole mutant side of the Marvel Universe to.
Yeah, and it created a whole branch of of the multiverse where it rewrote reality and the mutants were on top because Magneto was involved, but they were like the ruling class and they were the minority. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We were the minority. They were the working or the ruling class.
Yeah.
I think that WandaVision is going to do the reverse of that. And that's what's actually going to bring the X-Men into the Marvel universe. That's my opinion. That's what I think.
And it could be. It could be a spring point.
Yeah, because they're using the idea that she's hurt because Vision has died. And she's creating – because, I mean, Vision is dead, but now she has a TV show coming out where her and Vision are together, but they're in some, like, 50s sitcom type thing. It seems like she's using her reality bending powers to, you know, cope with her loss. And I do think that that's going to lead directly into the X-Men becoming part of the Marvel Universe. Because one of the big things is that – they're saying, now that Disney owns X-Men, how do you bring them in? Well, X-Men have been around for a long time. Now, suddenly there's mutants, and nobody's heard about them. They've not been mentioned in any of the movies or anything like that. So I think that she's going to do something at the end of that show that somehow brings mutants, whether it's pulls them in from, you know, the multiverse from another Earth, or I don't know. To somebody who doesn't read comics, this probably sounds like a bunch of bullshit. To be honest, but Paul, you know what I'm saying. I think they're going to do a reverse No More Mutants.
Yeah, and they've already definitely said that this definitely springboards into the Doctor Strange sequel called Multiverse of Madness.
Yes,
which apparently also ties into Spider-Man 3.
Which also apparently, I mean, I think, is it confirmed? It's confirmed now that Jamie Foxx and Alfred Molina are reprising their roles as Electro and Doc Ock, right? That's confirmed 100% now, right?
I think so.
It seems, Corbs, you know that there's been like three different Spider-Man reboots, right?
Yep.
The next movie, all three of those Spider-Men are in it, apparently.
So you're talking about
Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
They're all
going to. And Doc Ock from Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 2.
And Jimmy Fox from Andrew Garfield's.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how you do this. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, Spider-Verse was a great movie. And I don't know that if you're going to do it live action, I feel like it should be like Spider-Man 9, not Spider-Man 3. But they're doing it. And craziness. My brain can't even wrap around how this isn't going to be a train wreck of a movie.
There's going to be a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Especially since now they're saying that Charlie Cox is reprising his role as Matt Murdock in it.
Yeah, and potentially in She-Hulk, the TV series.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Kevin Feige said you might also see some other lawyers from the Marvel Universe in that show.
Nice.
And it wasn't in an interview. It was said, I guess, off camera. And I don't know what other lawyers he could be referring to other than Daredevil.
Feige. That's about it.
Yeah. Why would that even be? Why would you actually bother making that statement if it was Feige?
We'll get both. Because I'm hoping it springboards back to getting our own Disney Plus Daredevil show.
Well, I'm pretty sure that that's probably, you know, in the works. I hope they don't go the movie route because I think Daredevil works better as a TV show.
Oh, yeah. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I actually like Daredevil. I watched Daredevil, Iron Fist. I watched them all, so. Luke Cage. So, I mean, I watch those TV shows because I like them. And I watch the movies because I like movies. So, I mean, right. I'm not totally lost in some of the stuff you guys are talking about. I mean, I don't get to the comic books like you guys do, but I'm actually looking at the fourth Spider-Man, or the Spider-Man movie they're talking about, and it does say that Alfred Molina and Jamie Foxx are both in it. So, and same with Andrew Garfield. Doesn't say about Tobey Maguire, but so
I think there might be still some contracts to be signed, but it certainly seems like. I mean, this wouldn't be out there if they weren't close enough.
Right.
You know, it's beyond rumor now. Advertisements have been, you know, leaked and then pulled back and things like that.
Right.
It certainly seems like it's the real deal.
Yeah. I mean,
that
would be kind of cool to have all three of them kind of, intertwined. So that'd be kind of cool. I think that would be kind of a special thing to do. So
I think it would be awesome, but I think it's going to be confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be a whole lot of exposition in that.
Yeah. And I mean, it does lead into the whole multiverse, which is great because then that allows them to do things like bring in the X-Men and the Fantastic Four, two groups that should have been around already.
Right. It
gives them windows to do that. But I just worry that phase four is going to be very complicated and the price to pay to get into the door is going to be high for casual viewers, but we'll see. I mean, these people have not failed us yet. So I probably should be banking on the fact that they're aware of that and they're going to account for it.
We definitely jumped around on that.
I was going to say that we jumped all over the place. Should we back up a little bit?
Let's just continue on with it. Like you just said, we got the official announcement that the Fantastic Four is coming.
And nothing more.
Yep. But, I mean, it's cool. Hopefully we're that much closer to Emily Blunt and John Krasinski.
I hope that they don't show up in their own movie. In fact, I hope they don't show up in their own movie until Phase 5. Bring them in other people's movies.
That would be cool. Sprinkle them in. Yes. It's like, give them like a soft open, you know what I mean? A soft.
We've had two Fantastic Four franchises that have had very varied success. Make the characters earn their own movie, and I think that the audience will appreciate it more.
Right. Yes. Just like stretch it out, work them in.
Of course, Reed Richards would say that.
Of course. Sorry.
But because here's the thing: because you can do that, and then if you have people. Not right now, we're saying make a Fantastic Four movie because we're fans. If you have the casual people saying, hey, these guys have been great in all these movies, why don't you make their own movie? That's when the iron is hot when you strike.
Right, yes. Sorry. Now, what else was on that slate? We saw Ironheart.
Well, which I'm really excited. And that gives a Robert Downey Jr. a chance to come back. We all know he signed some sort of secret contract with Disney, so we assume he's going to be back in some form, and that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Corbs, you don't know this, so the basis of Ironheart is this girl, Riri Williams, who is apparently a brilliant teenager. What is she, like 14?
15.
15? She's absolutely like Tony Stark level brilliant, manages to build a suit of Iron Man armor in her garage.
Okay. And
the Tony Stark AI that Tony Stark created before he dies finds her because of the technology she's produced, and downloads itself into her armor. And she now has like a virtual Tony Stark saying, hey, let me help you out. It's a cool concept. She's black. So it's getting us, you know, diversity, which we desperately need in the Marvel universe right now.
Agreed.
Marvel Cinematic Universe. That could be a fun show, and it's good to do it as a show.
Yeah.
And then the next event, she could be in one of the, you know, the next Avenger movie. She could be an Avenger at that point. She's going to have the time to be built up and earn that role.
I think with some of the slate that's coming, we're going to see the champions.
Very possibly. With her and Ms. Marvel.
Yes.
The Ms. Marvel TV show, which I'm also excited about.
Yes. I haven't watched the sizzle reels. So I'm not sure about all those. The sizzle reels that were released.
Neither have I. No, I just watched the Loki trailer and I stopped it at one point and I'm like, that's Black Widow.
Nice. I also didn't watch that, but I heard they basically insinuated that he was D.B. Cooper.
Yep, yep, yeah. Jumping out of the plane. I saw that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be good. And that's going to draw on the casuals as well because, you know, so many girls think Tom Hiddleston is, you know, everything. I'm excited. I mean, he's a fantastic character. I mean, he took a villain and brought it to life in a way that you actually want to watch his fucking TV show, which
yes.
That's impressive. I think that's all on the actor, not just the writing. A good amount of that weight is on the actor's shoulders.
Also sure. Supposed to tie into Doctor Strange, right?
Because everything's tying into Multiverse of Madness.
I mean, why not? I mean, maybe that's going to be the new linchpin.
You know what? As long as we see Spider-Ham, I'm good. I don't care what they do.
I would be down with that. I like Spider-Ham.
The other thing that made me happy was apparently, and this is weird too, because it came out that Tatiana Maslany was cast as She-Hulk, and you may not know her, Corbs. Do you ever watch Orphan Black?
No.
Okay. Well, in Orphan Black, she played a girl that was cloned, and she actually played like 6 or 7 different characters, and they all interacted with each other. And I mean, yeah, I think she got an Emmy for the final season. She deserved it from day one, but it was an amazing BBC show. And the idea of her playing She-Hulk is great, but it came out and then she made some sort of statement saying she doesn't know anything about it. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe this came from We Got This Covered, you know,
right.
Or Cosmic Book News. But they came out and said on stage, they confirmed her casting, but there's still nothing from her camp on that. What we do know is Mark Ruffalo will be reprising his role as Hulk and Bruce Banner in the show. And Tim Roth is coming back as Abomination. And that is from the Ed Norton movie, right?
The Ed Norton movie. Yeah. Yes.
So again, this is going to be, you know, a huge deal because you're getting, you know, the big characters. They're doing that too, you know, with some of these sprinkling the big characters in, having a Sam Jackson show, having, you know, Don Cheadle is, you know, maybe some people don't think Don Cheadle is that big, but I mean, I personally think War Machine is a big character because I know what he represents in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that going forward, he may be a huge character in the Marvel Universe. Paul doesn't agree. He's just like,
No, I was nodding, but I don't know if my thing's backwards or not. Oh. But no, yeah, I think it's especially since they're clearly pivoting him to take on some of the role that Tony Stark should have had.
Yep.
I'm thinking we're getting Justin Hammer back.
Okay.
We have to for Armor Wars, because wasn't that Justin Hammer?
Yeah, I believe Hammer's? So. Isn't he all fucked up, though? Is he dead? I forget. At the end of
I don't remember.
Gwyneth Paltrow fucked his shit up.
No. That was you're thinking Iron Man 3.
Okay.
With Guy Pearce's character.
I maybe you're right.
Yep. Yeah. No. You're talking about
Sam Rockwell. Yes.
Yeah, that's who it is. Yeah. No, they just take him off to prison.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, the Iron Man 2 and 3, that kind of blended together.
Yes, because they weren't great.
They weren't bad, but they were.
They weren't bad. They weren't great. I wasn't super impressed with the Iron Man or the Thors. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, I feel that way about the second one because it took me for. I actually watched half of it, and then like a year later, I watched the second half. but I love the first one, and I love the third one. But the
third one was phenomenal. But that's all. That's director and writer right there.
Yeah.
That's.
But I mean, I think there was some news about that too, but I didn't write any of that down. Didn't somebody else? I saw a Kang the Conqueror cast.
He is going to be in Ant-Man 3.
Okay, which is Quantumania.
Quantumania.
Definitely gets the award for dumbest MCU movie title ever.
Title, yes. But we're getting Kang the Conqueror, so. And I have faith in our MCU gurus, so hopefully it's good. I've loved both Ant-Man movies so far.
And apparently they're recasting his daughter Cassie Lang, who being recast with the girl that's in Freaky. I think it's Catherine something.
Oh no, kidding!
Freaky, yeah, has been cast as Cassie Lang.
Okay, I don't know why they're recasting, but
she also had a recurring role on Supernatural.
Huh? How about that, Corbs?
Well, maybe I should watch it then.
We'll get around to it at some point.
But yeah, holy crap. I mean, is there a better I thought 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, when I said, is there a better time to be a Marvel Comics fan? And I mean, come on, there has to be a point where it starts to suck being a fan again, because it just keeps getting better. Right.
It has to at some point. But there's a lot, and we've only scratched the surface. There's still a lot of them that we haven't touched on.
And her name, by the way, her name is Catherine Newton.
Newton
is the girl. Right. And it does say, thanks. I'm looking at it, it does say that she is cast as Cassie Lang. So. Nice.
And I think that's because we're going to get Stature.
Now, I don't know what that is.
That's when Cassie Lang takes on her own superhero identity.
Okay.
Basically, it's a girl, a teenage girl, a giant man.
All right.
Or she was also Stinger for a while, so it could go either way. I'm not sure.
Now, we have more than just this, though. There's a bunch of Star Wars news, which you're going to have to help me with, because I glossed over some of it.
Okay.
I didn't quite catch what a lot of the new... I mean, there were too many new announcements, and I don't know the history of it, so I don't know what a lot of this was. I was excited that the next big movie is Rogue Squadron, just because that's been the name of a video game in, like, every single console cycle since I was a teenager.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a good thing, because it feels to me like it's going to be like Rogue One. It's going to be focusing on not maybe the big heroes, but the people in the trenches. And I mean, yes. I thought Rogue One may be one of, if not the best Star Wars movie ever.
Oh my God. Phenomenal movie. Yes. Yeah. And I'm thinking this is going to be another great one, because it's close to the director's heart, because her father was a serviceman. He was a pilot for the US military. And she really wants to do right by this. And it's Patty Jenkins.
Oh, Wonder Woman.
Yes. And Wonder Woman 1984, if it ever comes out. So,
Christmas Day.
Supposedly, yeah. Not for me, because I'm not getting HBO Max, so, or Plus, or whatever the fuck they're calling it now. So she's doing that, and this should be really cool. There is a lot of source material to go off of.
Oh yeah.
There was the video games. There was a long running comic book from Dark Horse about it. And I mean, it should focus around Wedge Antilles. Like, he was the guy that ran Rogue Squadron, but we'll see. I mean, Dennis Lawson's a little bit old now, but we would probably recast, I'm assuming. So, that's all I really got on that one. We don't know much about it other than that she's directing. And it's going to be basically an X-Wing squadron.
What about Rangers of the New Republic? Great name.
Very cool name. We know nothing about it other than the fact that it takes place during the Mandalorian timeline.
What about... Let's see, there's two here. That Ander, Visions, and the Acolyte. Three very... Okay. Nebulous names.
No. Andor. That's Cassian Andor from Rogue One. It's his prequel show.
Okay.
All right. And Diego Luna's back playing Cassian Andor. And it's going to be him going on missions at the very beginning of the rebellion.
Okay.
Should be a very cool show. And I think that one's coming sooner rather than later. That one is, I think they're already filming. Visions. Is Star Wars by way of Japanese anime. It's going to be animated shorts with all of the up and coming latest greatest anime artists and writers.
All right.
What was the other one?
The Acolyte.
The Acolyte. I'm excited about this. This is supposed to be a thriller / mystery series. Exactly, Corpse. taking place during the High Republic era, which is the new thing that they're pushing out. High Republic is thousands of years before the whole Jedi-Sith Wars. This is the height of the Republic. Think the Star Wars version of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
Okay. How come we never go forward?
I don't know. I mean, we went forward for the sequel trilogy. Your results may vary. I follow Timothy Zahn on social media, and basically he's been told that he's not allowed to write about any era past Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
So I think that corner of the universe is all going to be for The Mandalorian and the shows that are all tied to that.
Okay.
And then going ahead past what we saw with Rey, Palpatine, Skywalker. I guess she hyphenates. I don't know. I don't know what they're touching and what they're not. There were rumors they were going to ignore the sequel trilogy, and I hope they don't, because, I mean, we all saw it. So,
yeah.
So,
well, there are other exciting things. Now, I'm pronouncing this wrong, but it looks to me like Ashaka, but
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka. Yeah, I caught that when I was watching the episode, but I couldn't remember how it was pronounced.
So you didn't watch Clone Wars?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, she's a huge character in there.
I knew that she was a character in Clone Wars, but I have never watched that. Love the character. I mean, just love Rosario Dawson, period. I mean, you know, nothing ever, come on, you know, sometimes it's okay to go ass to mouth.
Yes. I mean,
Clerks, girl, 2, Becky. Clerks 2 was my introduction to her, and I loved her ever since that. And anything she's in, I'm all for. But yeah, I mean, that character was great, and I would love to see more of it. Do we know if it's going to be prior to her appearance in The Mandalorian or afterwards?
Afterwards. I think that's where we're going to get the hunt for Grand Admiral Thrawn and Ezra Bridger.
Okay, so this is after Clone Wars as well, because her appearance
after Clone Wars, after Rebels, after her appearance on Mandalorian.
So all new material. Okay.
Yes. I think we're going to see more characters that we know from the animated series show up in that. I'm super excited about it. My girls are super excited about it. Kylie, who previously hated Star Wars, is a huge Ahsoka fan now.
Now, if I wanted to learn about that whole section of the universe, because this is all coming from the animated stuff, in what order do I watch these various cartoons?
Clone Wars and then Rebels.
Okay.
And Clone Wars has a very specific order. StarWars.com put out a watch order, because you don't watch it just from the way the show is put out.
Oh, really?
And you'll understand why when you start watching it. They almost did it as an old-timey newsreel thing. That's how they do the episodes, that each one starts out with like a newsreel, and then it goes into it, and they jumped around. The first couple of seasons jumped around, and not everything is in order. They start an episode about one thing, and then the next one is completely different.
And that must have been jarring for the people watching it in real
time. It had to have been. It had to have been. And I don't understand what they were thinking.
What, you said Clone Wars, then Rebels?
Yes. Yeah. Clone Wars takes place in between episodes 2 and 3. Like when they just put the new season out to finish the series of Clone Wars, it literally has parallels with the final Obi-Wan and Darth Vader battle in Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
Like they actually took audio from it to in that episode. Wow. Yes. Because what you'll find out if you watch is Ahsoka is Anakin's Padawan.
Great. Thanks for ruining that for me.
The first time you see her, it's the first thing you know. That's how you're introduced to her. It's not, I've ruined nothing for you, just because that's what the very first time you see her, that's what you find out.
Speaking of that, so Hayden Christensen coming back to be Darth Vader in Obi-Wan, how does that even work?
How does that work? Is it going to be him in the suit? Is he doing vocals? I mean,
and where does that even fit in the timeline? Because I mean, I've been under the impression they did not have contact from that final battle until
A New Hope.
Yeah, A New Hope. It certainly seemed like that. And
right.
To reveal some secret story between them, I mean, that would almost feel cheap, you know? That feels
like something
we should already know.
Something we don't need to go back to. But, you know what? I'm assuming they have it figured out. I have faith in the people that are doing this stuff now. They haven't done us wrong since...
The last
Jedi. Yeah, Rise of Skywalker had issues, but yeah.
But the good news is, if you're a Star Wars fan, there is a shit ton of stuff to look forward to.
Ton coming.
I would say it qualifies as a metric fuck ton.
I like that. We can't use that as a title though.
Nope.
Though, because Apple would kick us out of iTunes.
Yes.
But I did notice when I searched this yesterday, actually it was earlier today, to try to find a copy of the particular GeekPod symbol behind me, because I couldn't find it. We're on Amazon, too. It brought me to Amazon. Did you know that?
I've been busy.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap.
You can find us almost everywhere now. I've been very, very busy in our off season. What else we got?
I've got nothing.
All right, so we've wrapped up most everything. Oh, no.
No?
My boy Moon Knight.
Yep.
I can't wait for that. It sounds like from what Kevin Feige said, they're doing it right. We're going to see all of the personality disorders in it with an Egyptian background.
I only know that because you made me read some of those books, and that even, you know, I thought was like, wow, that's a great character. The idea of a TV show that could be the equivalent of John Berthenol as the Punisher. It could be that powerful.
Oscar Isaac. Poe Dameron playing Mark Spector.
Yeah, great casting too.
I can't wait. But that's all I got. I'm just saying, at some point, maybe we should resurface the Moon Knight podcast, just to piss off the guys that are doing a Moon Knight podcast now and couldn't have the name that we took. So,
well, there you go.
Just saying. We should make Corbs read them. That's what it is.
I'm down with that.
And look, he's disconnecting.
I can't watch Supernatural. He's not going to read things too?
Okay, you have a point there. I mean,
you are unemployed right now, and you can't play golf in the winter, so what the fuck else do you have to do?
So basically, we have to pray for snow to make him read and watch the shit we want him to do?
Oh, and we might have to drive around people that he knows that needs.
That's true.
That's right. Just so he can watch an hour-long show.
We have to be Sean's taxi service.
Is it Schuber? Is that what we're
gonna call it? Schuber.
Hold on, where's my pen?
You know, I don't think that's gonna work though, Paul.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
You'd have to change the spelling of his name for it actually to phonetically sound right.
That's true too.
In speech, it's funny, but on looking as a title, it's not gonna work.
No, because he has to spell it with an S-E. Yeah, I know.
That's right. I guess about the right way.
I don't disagree. All right. Any last thoughts before I drop my wisdom nugget?
No, drop your nugget.
All right. So, people add you on Facebook and then never like a post, never comment, never say hi. You just sit there, watching, waiting like a perv in a white van. Good night, everybody, and megabyte me, bitches.
This has been a GeekPod Network production.